Good morning, everybody. How we doing? Good? Good to see y'all. Okay, announcements. There's no evening service tonight, so enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully you got some fun stuff planned. Maybe, I don't know, I'm sure we got some lake people, some picnic, eat some good food, just enjoy the day. We've got a birthday, and he happens to be here. Happy birthday, Rick. Which is on the 29th. Happy birthday. Good to see you guys here. Coming up, all church work day is June 1st from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. So there's lots of stuff that needed help. If you're able-bodied and want to do so, just who would they get in contact? Or just come, I imagine. Just come and we'll find something to do for you. June 1st, 10:30 to 2. We've also got the Calvary Brotherhood and Sisterhood coming up June 1st. That's next Saturday, I believe, both 9 a.m. And the Brotherhood is at the Blueberry Pancake House. Sounds good. And the Sisterhood is at Kyla's. So they've got an address on there and a phone number. If you're interested, go ahead and reach out that way. We've got our business meeting coming up on June 12th, and that is going to be at 6 p.m., and that's in the adult Sunday school rooms over there. The parking lot maintenance fund. You have the thing up there, Lou? Not this week. Oh, there you go. So we're getting close. If that's a thermometer, we're getting hot. Very close. So good job. Continue to pray on that. Hopefully we can finish this thing out. And I think that's it. We will be doing the Lord's Supper today, and that's not on there, but we'll do that at the end. So, okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear God, we come to you here this Sunday morning. We just thank you for the opportunity to gather as like-minded individuals and as the body. I think sometimes we take for granted this gathering as the body because 90% of the time we are out in a world where we're sort of aliens to, that we are in a mixed bag of people. But here on Sundays, I hope that we can appreciate that we are all united by that one essential thing, that is being believers and followers of your Son, Jesus, God. And we thank you for that opportunity. We pray and ask that when we come here on Sundays, that our spirit would be sort of reinvigorated and revitalized so that when we go out through the rest of the week, it can be known and it can be seen through the way we live and act and treat others that we are your people, God. And we pray that when we do so, that would draw people a little bit closer to you each and every time, and that you would be glorified. And we pray and ask that you be with Pastor Mike as he delivers his message here this morning. And again, as all pastors across the world that are given a Sunday message, God, we pray that your spirit would aid them and equip them to deliver a word that glorifies and honors you so that it would build up the body. And we pray all these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. In the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
You this morning, Lord. Thank you for being here and for bringing us together in your name. We want to thank you, Lord, for the many people who have died for our freedom in this country, Lord, and there's many, many. So we just thank you for them, God, and continue to bless this nation as you have in the past. It's the greatest nation in the world. Has been, Lord, and we just thank you for that. As we continue in the service, Lord, may your name be uplifted and everyone be blessed. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
welcome to stand. We utter our cry that peace may prevail,
that earth will survive, and faith must not fail. We pray with our life for the world in our care, for people diminished by doubt and despair. We cry from the fright of our daily scene for strength to say no to all that is mean. Designs bearing chaos, extinction of life, all energy wasted on weapons of death. Creator of life, come share out, we pray, your spirit on earth, revealing the way. To leaders conferring round tables for peace, that they may from bias and guile released. Whatever the ill or pressure we face, Lord, hearten and heal, give insight and grace. To think and make peace with each heartbeat and breath, choose Christ before Caesar and life before death. My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country thee,
seated.
Those are songs that are hard to sing, aren't they? You start getting choked up in the your throat and all that kind of stuff doesn't work quite right. Well, it is a great blessing that we do not deserve to live in such a great land as this, but we do thank the Lord God Almighty for that. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew this morning, chapter 26, starting in verse 17. It says, "Now, the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, and the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, say to him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12. And as he did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed, that had been good for that man if he had never been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples. Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave it thanks and gave to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And they had sung a hymn. They went out unto the Mount of Olives. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for this great love wherewith you drew us in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice that you have made to put us into a right relationship to you. Nothing that we have done, you have done it all. And by your grace, we come to you today. And we pray and honor the Lord Jesus in all that we do. Help us to let him lead us and guide us all the time. Have our hands locked in his hand. Lord, you know the world that we live in, desperate, in need of all kinds of things. And we know, Lord, that we, as your people, are a light in the darkness. Help us to be just that. Keep us safe and keep us strong. Help us, Lord, to remember those that have bought this freedom for us, so many in the years past by. And we thank you for those and their families. Be with them today. Lord, now we ask you to be with us here in this place. Open our hearts and mind to your word. Speak to us. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, Memorial Day is a holiday, Pastor Kim back there, that honors men and women who die in the service of our country. We are a people, though, with short memories, and we must be reminded. We must never forget what these acts of boldness and kindness and love and bravery have done. These sacrifices that secured freedom for us, so few for so many. Memorial Day was first observed on May 30th until 1971, when it was changed to the last Monday of May. Memorial Day was first called Decoration Day because of the custom of placing flowers and flags on the graves of the fallen. Memorial Day and Veterans Day are holidays designed to celebrate members of the armed service military. But there's one key difference. Memorial Day took shape after the Civil War to honor those who were killed in Civil War battles. Veterans Day, however, came at the end of World War I to honor all the servicemen and women, that especially those who lived to share those experiences and those that did not, and we praise. Harry Truman said this, Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. That's so true. They have earned our dying, undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifices. Oh, that that be a good prayer. I'm thinking we're kind of forgetting. One of the biggest reflections of this holiday is the flying of the American flag all over the place. And that's good. Woodrow Wilson once again said, Solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in this country's service with gratitude for their victory unto them. Ronald Reagan said, "Veterans know better than anyone else the price of freedom, for they have suffered the scars of war. They can offer them no better tribute than to protect what they have won for us." Douglas MacArthur said this, "The soldier above all others prays for peace. For the soldier who must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war." So memorials are very important. Memorials are very important to remind us of what has taken place. Something has taken place in the past that we're trying to remember. They energize us in the present. They give us direction for the future. Over in Exodus chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "This day shall be for you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout all generations. You shall keep it a feast by the ordinance forever." You see, God Almighty exhorted Israel to remember what he had done for them when he brought them out of bondage and slavery in Egypt and overcame the Egyptians. God had told Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell him, and of course Pharaoh was the most powerful man on the earth at that time, a very simple message: "Let my people go." If he did not obey, then there were some consequences to those actions, and the firstborn of Egypt would die. Pharaoh balked, of course. He didn't want to do that. But God never hesitates. When God says something, he doesn't go back and change his script and apologize. He carries through what he says. The death of the death angel passed over all of Egypt, and the firstborn of Egypt died. And many, many people think, "Oh, how terrible that is." That is terrible. It is. When we are not obedient, there's always consequences. There are always consequences. Micah 7:15 says, "On the same day, the 15th of Nisan, Israel is to be redeemed in the days of the Messiah, as they were redeemed on that day, and it is said according to these days." So Matthew 26:17 has this passage. Jesus says to his disciples, Matthew 26:26, "Take, eat, this is my body," when he broke the bread. Then he says, "Take the cup and give thanks and give it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when he had thus finished, they sang a hymn. What do we usually do? We sing a hymn after. Sometimes I think we ought to have just a little report card. You know, this is this. We don't make any of this thing up. We just forget where it came from. They went out and they sang hymn out to the Mount of Olives. Now, memorials are everywhere in the Bible. I think, again, I'm probably going to say it several times. Why is that necessary? It's because we have short memories. Because we have short memories, we need to be reminded over and over and over again what God has done for us. Sometimes in mighty, supernatural, miraculous ways, and sometimes in the smallest, infinitesimal blessings that he gives us that we still don't deserve. So memorials in the scripture are all there, and they're always there to remind us of what God is doing. Many, many times they're just very simple things. When Israel was going in to the Holy Land, crossing the Jordan, remember, they were supposed to take stones from the riverbed, get crossed over on dry land, pile them up in a little stack, so that anybody who went by there would say, hey, this is where we came through the Jordan. They didn't build a pontoon bridge. They didn't have assault things. God just went, and they crossed over on dry land. When Israel journeyed through the wilderness, they made all kinds of memorials. A rock here, the chip there, whatever, these kind of things. So they called them stones of remembrance. You see, God does mighty things. You would think we would never, never forget. But we do. We get too caught up in the everydayness of life. We get too busy. We're too concerned about whether your suit and your tie and your shirt all go together or something like that. Now, some of you know that I don't get caught up in that. You've seen that many, many times. But we get caught up in all the details, don't we? We really do. God says, okay, cross over the Jordan. Take 12 stones. Why did he tell them to take 12 stones? There are 12 tribes. One stone for every tribe. Everybody was supposed to remember. He wasn't making a milkshake. He was making a stack of stones. All individual, all had their own personalities, all had their gifts, their talents, their strengths, and all those kind of things. And they were all stacked together when we work together, you see, and God works in our lives, and God opens the way, we cannot be stopped. 12 stones stacked together in Jordan to mark, here's where we went over. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us there that they were supposed to, as they went by those places, to tell the kids, hey, you know what that stack of rocks is all about? Why are we supposed to do that? Tell so the next generation can understand what's going on there. You know, in fact, the temple in Jerusalem was really a memorial spot, mark. This is where Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac. Now, you have to go back and read those places, and you'll have to do it very, very, like with a fine-tooth comb, because not a lot of it's made out of that, but that's what's happening there. This is a place of sacrifice. This is a place where God met Abraham. This is a place where God blessed Abraham. This is a place where God renewed a covenant with Abraham. And doesn't it make sense that in Jerusalem, the eternal city, the capital of God, that the temple of God would be right there on that spot? Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So Christians, we need to remember these things, and we need to teach these things, because all around us, people don't even know anything about these things. There are pagan Muslim friends over there. They're disconnected. They don't understand. They don't know what the Temple Mount is. They don't know what God has done. They don't understand where they're going. They've been fed a bunch of lies by a prophet who was not a prophet. And they don't even understand that these things happen. And even now today, there's something that stands on the Temple Mount. Did you know what that is? It's not the temple. It's the Dome of the Rock. I think to myself, when we went there, I remember our guy told us, listen, you know, don't wear anything tomorrow, you know, like a big shirt that says Jesus saves or something. I don't know what your shirt says, brother, but it's probably a good advertisement for the Bible. That's great. But he said, don't wear stuff like that tomorrow. Don't wear those crosses. And I don't know if he said this or not, but the impression that I got that I remember was, for heaven's sakes, don't wear a Star of David. Because we're going to the Temple Mount, and we don't control the Temple Mount. Islam controls the Temple Mount. And so we're able to go there, and if they arrest you, we can't do anything about it. If they kick you out, we can't do anything about it. Wear modest clothing, because if you go and you're showing too much, they're going to give you a t-shirt, put it over you. They might give you a blanket to wear. And if you want to go, you're going to wear it or you go home. So he told us all those kind of things. And so I think to myself, oh, that's cool. So we got up there, and we're doing all these. You know, it's a big, this crowd's going in. All those kind of things. We went down to where, in the Temple Mount, there's a section you go underground, and there's a place in there where supposedly Muhammad ascended into heaven. We went down there, and it was in that place that I noticed when my wife was looking at stuff, that her little necklace was hanging out. And I noticed, oh my gosh, she's decided that if they're going to beat us up or wound us or something or another, they're going to kill us, because not only did she have the Star of David, she had the cross too. So we were, if they would have, you know, we were done. And of course, I asked her about that even today. How many times did you do that? And I keep thinking to myself, she always tells me something, like she didn't know they wasn't supposed to do that or whatever. She comes up with something that I'm sure is the truth, but nevertheless, she tells me those things. You know what the real deal is? You know what the real deal is? She's stubborn. She's not going to do what somebody tells her to do if she doesn't want to do it. She's a free thinker. I didn't buy this necklace to put it under my shirt. I bought this necklace to wear. I'm proud of this necklace. I'm happy with this necklace. She bought the necklace in Jerusalem, I think. In Jerusalem. Okay, very good. So it was a gift. You have to wear a gift, right? No doubt about it. Listen, the Temple Mount is holy to us, to the Jews, to the Muslims. And the Muslims accept this place as the exact spot of what Muhammad did. Al-Harim al-Sharif. Islam is the proper heir to Abrahamic traditions. That's what they say. There's somebody else, of course, that says, no, we're the proper heirs to Abraham's traditions. And that's our friends, the Jews. Wait a second, there's another person, there's another group that says, wait a second, we've got some investment here too. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. We're the children of Abraham. You didn't know that, did you? In faith, those promises have came to us. So we have all these things that should be on the top of our minds, in the front of our minds, but they're probably stuck back there someplace in the back, getting dusty. And so we need to be reminded. The Lord's Supper is here this morning. And I want to talk to us a little bit about that, because it's a reminder. It's a memory. Do this in remembrance of me. I think that's what that says on that table down there. Do this in remembrance of me. And the Lord's Supper is a very simple thing. Little pieces of bread, a little grape juice or wine. I'm thinking if you came this morning thinking, oh, they're going to have the Lord's Supper, and afterwards we can go home because we'll be full. Not with the bread and the wine you won't, but hopefully with a little bit more substantial things than that to the Spirit. But nevertheless, the Lord's Supper is a very simple meal. It's a reminder. Jesus' body was broken for you. He died for you. So we're never to forget that, to always remember that. His blood was shed as the lamb without spot or blemish on Calvary's tree. No more need for sacrifice. The perfect Lamb of God has come, has paid the sin debt. Never once more again do we have to worry about a sacrifice. We don't have to sit around scratching our heads. It's very simple. Jesus paid it all. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament, all those intricate things, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. All those kind of things, in and of themselves, were just little flashcards to say, don't forget. Now remember that God has done great things in his own person. He took upon himself human flesh and he came and he lived on this earth. He spoke like no man ever spoke. He did things like no man ever did. He touched the lepers and they were healed. He spoke to people like nobody ever heard before. He healed. He did all these kinds of things. He went to Calvary. You know, the Romans didn't come up with that particular way of death, but they thought, this is a really good thing. We like this. Because they nail you to the cross, and you didn't die right off the bat. And they put you someplace prominent, so that when you were coming into Jerusalem, for example, you'd have to come by this place, and they would see these people on a cross. And being inquisitive people like we are, some of us probably would have said, hey, what happened to those people? And somebody then would take us to the side and say, I don't know exactly, but don't mess with the Romans. You'll end up over there. Yeah. The sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross and in the resurrection, he paid it all. All to him I owe. This is my body, Jesus said, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper is a simple meal, bread and wine. It is remembrance of Jesus' perfect sacrifice on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Remember John the Baptist when he came preaching in the wilderness and everybody was so excited about John and his preaching because he was not like the scribes and the Pharisees. He was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, I guess we might say. And people went out to listen to him. And when they did, John points over there to Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which what? Taketh the sin of the world away. Wow. This is not a sacrament. It's a sacrifice of love and mercy. The life and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father God Almighty right now, ever making intercession for us. We are his people. We're in covenant relationship with him through his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus is the Lord. The Lord's Supper reminds us of all he did, he said, who he was, and what he accomplished. The wonder of revelation, the wonder of redemption, the wonder of God's love, the greatness of his grace. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But he gives it to you anyway. When Jesus turns and returns, you know Jesus is going to come back again, don't you, one day? He's coming. Lots of people get excited about trying to figure out when. I'm just thinking what we need to be is faithful until. When Jesus returns in all of his glory, he will gather his people from every tongue and every tribe and every nation, and we shall once again have access to the tree of life. Revelation 22:2 says this, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Over in Revelation 19, verse 6 through 9, it says this, Jesus will bring the redeemed of every nation on earth into his presence. This is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a taste of eternal life that should stir us to a faith unwavering, a strength in understanding, in a will to follow him no matter what. Because there is no other way. No other second chances. Nothing like that. This is the way that we should go and come to him. We look at these things and we don't understand them very well, I'm sure, because we're I don't know, we're very literal people. We don't like symbols to begin with most of the time and all that kind of stuff. But we are here this morning, Memorial Day, to remember the greatest memorial of all. That's what Jesus did for us. What he continues to do to with us, for us every day. Restoring us. When we sin, we ask forgiveness and we're forgiven. We walk with him. He touches our lives. He gives us direction. How many people do you know that you think to yourself, man, I don't know what on earth. Those people are strange. And they're strange because of their walk with Christ. It's so different from yours. You go, wow, you know. We ought to be like that. We shouldn't be conformed to this world. We should be conformed to him. And being conformed to him, we're not going to be conformed to the world, nor are we going to be accepted by the world. Not going to happen. So we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to ask the guys to come that I asked to help me this morning real briefly. And I'm just going to tell you real quick that there are many ways that people understand that you can do the Lord's Supper and things like that. And I always think that the one I like best is that we're coming as God's people to honor the Lord Jesus because of what he did. It doesn't have anything to do with the Baptists or the Methodists or the Presbyterians or anything like that. None of those kind of things. It's not a sacrament. This little piece of bread, if that's all you're going to get today, come by the house. We can give you a ham sandwich later. You even said ham sandwich. Good grief. This stuff here is good, though. Ever drank this stuff? Oh, it's not wine. Good grief, no! It's Welch's grape juice. Boy, I like it. Yeah. What happens to me when I'm doing these kind of things, sometimes I spill stuff. So I take my little paper towel and wipe that up. And then if I spill one of these halfway or something like that, sacrilege of sacrilege, I just go ahead and drink it. Because it's grape juice and it's good for you. But we're going to take this together this morning because he told us to do this. This do in remembrance of me. We want Jesus to be right there in the center of what we're doing this morning. This do in remembrance of me. Okay? All right. I've asked these guys to help me a little bit here this morning. I'm going to give you that one. And I'll give you that one. And you guys go ahead and pass those out. Whoops, I'm sorry. Here I'm getting ahead of myself, which is normal. Let me have a prayer. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for this ceremony that we can participate in that has so much meaning to it. We thank you, Father, that this bread is a little tiny wafer, hardly anything at all, but it represents your body dying for us. Horrible. Crucifixion is horrible. Dying for us. You're standing in our place, and we thank you for that. Bless this as we take these things together this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Okay, guys, now go. Thank you. Jesus teaches this great lesson of his sacrifice for us on the cross. He tells us that this is his blood, which is shed for you. As oft as you take this cup and eat this bread, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes again. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together and sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds."
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christ.